we got to start with crime before we go over to Fanny or Fawny. I know that y'all want me to be a little bit careful of how I pronounce her name, Fawny. But we got to go over to the crime because we got some stuff going on in out west. We have some stuff going on in Chicago. We got some stuff going on in Houston. Chicago and Houston, I don't know if it's just my algorithm, but they just continue to flood me with all of this crime that's going on. But it's some very, very, very bad things that's happening outside of Chicago and Houston. So take a look, y'all, or the suburb of Chicago. Let me be specific, but it's still Chicago. Take a look, y'all.
A developing story tonight. We now know the names of a mother and three daughters killed this morning in a domestic dispute in Tinley Park. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jackie Bang.
And I'm Tamon Bradley. WGN's Brona Tomalty is live in Tinley Park with the latest on the investigation. Brona?
Good evening, guys. Yeah, a very sad night here in the village. The medical examiner's office releasing the names of the deceased a very short time ago. 53-year-old Mahida Kasim, her twin 25-year-old daughters Halima and Zahaya, and her youngest daughter, 24-year-old Hanan, all of them found dead inside of their home here in Tinley this morning. One man was taken into custody here at the scene. His relationship to the four women yet to be officially confirmed. We're told he is still being questioned, but it is a tragedy that has shaken the entire neighbourhood.
It's a big shock to me. Big shock to everybody in the neighbourhood.
Michael Murray lives in Tinley Park, close to an area swarming with squad cars this morning.
All the sirens and everything.
That same site waiting for Charlotte Vitkus as she arrived home from Mass.
So shocking for a Sunday morning too. Such a good family that had a bright future.
Her daughter is sure something terrible had happened at a nearby home on the 7400 block of 173rd Place.
Mom, there's 18 squad cars there. Something happened at their house.
And she was right.
It's still not secure. There's about four people down with gunshots.
When authorities arrived shortly before 11:30 a.m., they found four members of the same family dead inside.
A mother, Mahida Kasim, 53. Halima Kasim, 25, Hanan Kasim, 24, Zahaya Kasim, 25.
So all of these were adults. All of these people were adults that got done, and it sounds like all of them were women. Let me back this up one more time. I just want to make sure that we get all of the names.
Kasim, 53.
53.
Halima Kasim, 25.
It's a girl.
Hanan Kasim, 24.
I don't know if that's a guy or a girl.
Zahaya Kasim, 25. These are the confirmed names of the victims from the medical examiner's office.
A gun was found at the scene as one man was taken into custody right away.
No incident. Person was taken into custody immediately.
Officials, though, have yet to confirm his relationship to the deceased.
I think the whole neighborhood's probably in shock because we don't see this kind of stuff.
It's a huge impact to our community and the neighbors around here. I mean, especially around this anniversary of Lane Bryant. But not only that, it's a family. And our thoughts and prayers go out to all of them and the family members.
The Lane Bryant tragedy happening almost 16 years ago when six women were shot, five of them killed in a robbery at a clothing store, a crime that was never solved.
This is a totally different situation. It's a domestic-related situation in the sense that we have the person in custody and there is no threat to the public.
Now again,
so they never actually caught the person that perpetuated that crime over at Lane Bryant?
See, a very hard day for everyone involved, including the first responders who walked into that scene this morning. We're told councillors have been on scene for them here today as well. Charges, of course, still pending in the case, but a press conference has been scheduled for 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, so we do expect to learn more then.
Sounds like they're giving everybody jobs because, like somebody said inside of the chat, I'm not sure if we in Ireland or we in Tinley Park. You know what I'm saying? Sound like they're definitely giving everybody jobs. But it's unfortunate when this type of stuff happens. It just shows that you don't know what's really going on inside of your neighbor's homes. So just be vigilant. Keep your head on a swivel. And make sure that you're very, very careful about who it is that you befriend, because you have no clue of what people are going through in their own personal lives, even if they're giving you the perception that everything is going well. Meanwhile, over in, I believe, Houston, check this out, man. This is really, really sad.
Two teenagers wanted for capital murder have turned themselves in to police. The 17 and 18-year-old are accused of shooting a store clerk in Humble after investigators say the pair stole a bag of chips. KPRC 2 was there as the teens walked into Houston police headquarters this evening. Community activist Quano X says the teens reached out to him about coming forward.
How were they feeling, you know, right before they walked in here?
Extremely nervous, sad. All of this started over a bag of chips. And no human life is worth losing over a bag of chips.
KPRC2's Coralie Peel was there as the teens made their way to HPD. She joined us live from there with what the teens are saying about this shooting. Coralie?
The teens didn't speak as they walked inside here to surrender tonight. But Quan Alex says the teens are claiming self-defense.
These two teens were tight-lipped, walking behind Quanell X and Dr. Candace Matthews.
We're going to pause it right now. Because let me tell you what I predict. Let me tell you what I predict. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. Well, maybe not Jesse Jackson. We ain't heard from him in a while. He a little old. Al Sharpton, Black Lives Matters, T.I., they all gonna say that this shouldn't happen and it's not their fault and they should not be held accountable for taking a store clerk's life. They should not be held accountable for taking a store clerk's life over them stealing a bag of chips. They already setting it up. They setting it up for y'all to be distracted in 2024 right before the election. They already setting it up. Ben Crump, absolutely. Connie, we on the same page today. We on the same page today, Connie. Let's hear the rest of the story before we judge.
As they made their way into HPD, one...
Shout out to Rawdisha. Shout out to Rawdisha. I'm definitely going to be reading that super chat shortly.
Teen looked right into our camera before turning themselves in. They're accused of shooting and killing an Humble store clerk over a stolen bag of chips. Do they feel remorse?
These young men are scared. They're worried. They definitely want their side of the story to be told.
Police released this surveillance video from Friday showing two suspects in hoodies walking into the Sunoco. The employee follows right behind them. One of the suspects appears to put a bag of chips in his pants. The 42-year-old employee confronts them as they leave a store. The conversation was captured on video outside. It's the last video before police say the employee followed the suspects in his car. Police say he spotted the suspects walking near Will Clayton Parkway. As he approached them in his car, police say the teens opened fire, striking the employee and his car. Quanell X says the teens have a different story.
They did say to me that they believe it was self-defense because there was multiple guns involved and it wasn't just them.
So they believe that the store clerk had a gun?
Yes. They believe the store clerk had a gun and that he pulled his gun first. Now, whether that's the truth or not, we don't know. But what we do know, it all should be on video.
We have reached out to Humble Police for comment. They say they are looking into our request. Now the teens have not been officially booked in the Harris County Jail at this point. We're not releasing their names until they are officially charged. But we, of course, will keep you updated.
Now, we're all going to be distracted. I can tell you right now. Even though this is the first time that you guys are hearing this story, I guarantee you that this will not be the last time that we talk about it. You know why? Because we already know what's going to happen. We know that there's going to be dividing sides. We also know that if you are not in the favor of these teens, that you are going to be called everything out of the book. If you're a white person or anybody that's not black, they're going to call you racist. If you're a black person, they're going to call you an Uncle Tom, which they don't even know that Uncle Tom was the hero. Or they may call you Ruckus, Uncle Ruckus. We all know that they're going to call you a sellout, you know, that you must like Trump, all of this stuff, right? And it's first of all, it's a distraction. It's clearly a distraction so that people focus on things that's not, that doesn't matter. The real core of the issue is okay, it's two things. Because all of this could have been prevented, not based off of the fact that the store clerk followed them because they stole. That's number one. Why are you stealing? Because, see, the narrative is already being painted for them to say, well, nobody's life is worth a bag of chips. Do you know that when you used to steal back in the day that they would chop your hands off? That they would take one of your fingers? The question is, why are people stealing? Why is it okay for you to commit a crime and then say, well, it's not worth it for somebody to have to lose their life over a bag of chips? The person that lost their life is the person that got stolen from. People put their all into their businesses. I mean everything. They put their last dime and money that they don't even have. They be borrowing from friends and family just to keep their businesses open, just to get their businesses running. They work their businesses in most instances. So number one, the question is, why are you stealing? Why are you purposely and intentionally going into a store? You drove a car, it cost you more in gas to get there so you could steal some chips. That's number one. Number two, why are you walking around with a pistol and you a teenager? 17, 18 years old, walking around with a pistol and you a teenager. And see, because we don't want to ask the questions, because the only part of the conversation that matters is whether or not it fits into our diversity, equity, and inclusion and victim Olympics, that's the only thing that's going to be asked. Meanwhile, the person that was at work all day, working, grinding, hustling, trying to make sure that they support their businesses or whatever, is the person that then ultimately lost their life, and they were the ones that's getting stolen from. Shout out to Houston, man. Watch. I guarantee you this is not going to be the end of it. I guarantee you that this is not going to be the end of it. But I'm going to say I told you so. Let's continue. On the West Coast, over in Oakland, they having a theft problem themselves. Take a look. Or a crime problem. Not just a theft problem, but a crime problem. Take a look.
Out to Oakland, where concerns about crime at their only In-N-Out right by the airport has caused a company to decide to close the location for good. In-N-Out is just the latest in a long line of businesses that have shut down in the last year, citing crime as a driving factor. Customers and workers we spoke to today tell our Dahlin they are angry about the closure, but not surprised.
The drive-through line at this Oakland In-N-Out is always very long. The company made it very clear this is a very busy and profitable location. They say the issue is crime and safety.
Dozens of cars inching along the drive-thru line and plenty more people inside the dining room, including loyal customer Jan Bundy.
First time I taste one of their burgers, I was like, oh my God.
The lifelong East Oakland resident comes at least twice a week. He's well aware of the car break-ins in the parking lot. There are warning signs in front of In-N-Out and throughout the lot. He witnessed thieves breaking into a car next to him.
They have, you know, weapons. So you don't want to run up and be no hero.
Less than 2 months ago, it happened to his truck when he ate inside.
They was trying to steal my vehicle, but I had a kill switch on it they didn't know about. So they couldn't get the vehicle, but they took all my belongings out.
The damage cost him about $500. Now his partner stays in the truck while he orders inside. That's why he's not surprised In-N-Out is shutting down the Oakland location.
It's really a sad moment.
Definitely frustrated. Definitely frustrated, you know, because if it's not In-N-Out, it's going to be something else tomorrow.
These are people's jobs, you know. And it's essential to have jobs so we can spend money, you know, in the community.
The San Francisco Chronicle reports since 2019, police have recorded over 1,300 incidents in and around the fast food restaurant.
1,300 incidents. Even considering that the pandemic was supposed to keep y'all inside of the house for an extended period of time. 1,300. That means that if you go over to the In-N-Out over in Oakland, it's a strong possibility that you may come outside and you may not even have a vehicle. and everybody knows it. It's a regular thing, but it's nobody that can stop it because we live in a too woke of a society to actually do anything about it.
Than any other location in Oakland. Most of the reported incidents were car break-ins targeting visitors coming through Oakland Airport. Employees tell me they've seen armed robberies of customers as well.
It's terrifying because, like, it also puts us in danger.
This In-N-Out worker says thieves stay away when officers patrol the lot, but they're only here for a few hours a day.
They just look around all the time, and then they see Petey leaves for a second, and then that's when they take the chance.
In-N-Out released a statement that reads in part, despite taking repeated steps to create safer conditions, our customers and associates are regularly victimized by car break-ins, property damage, thefts, and armed robberies. We cannot ask them to visit or work in an unsafe environment.
We are in a state of emergency. We are in the state of emergency. Should it have to take a declaration to deliver when we're living this? My district has been in crisis.
Councilwoman Treva Reed represents the area. She's been calling on the city council and Mayor Shang Tao to provide more police resources, but says she has gotten very little support.
The Oakland Airport, the Hagenberger 98th Area Corridor, is a gateway into the East Bay. And we have got to invest more and have dedicated regional, statewide collaboration on how we are going to support and strengthen that corridor.
Starbucks in the same lot shut down late last year. Raising Cane's is doing drive-through only to prevent car break-ins. In-N-Out says its last day will be on March 24th.
That's insane. That is insane. That they can literally, thieves and car robbers and jackers can patrol the lot so much so to where they're forcing businesses profit. See, listen, this is not even businesses that's suffering. These are businesses that are profitable that's saying we can't control what is happening in our own parking lots and in our own city that's by the airport. No wonder Keith Lee was getting up out of Oakland. No wonder Keith Lee said, I'm not doing it. No wonder the Golden State Warriors decided to get on up out of there and built the Chase Center instead. This is crazy that a profitable business, an incredibly profitable business, said that the crime in the area is so bad and the assaults on our customers are so egregious that we decided to close a profitable business, an incredibly profitable business, and leave Raising Cane's to themselves.